Thank you very much. Anybody else care for an additional 30 seconds? Otherwise, time has flown, gentlemen. I promise we try to keep it to about an hour and a half, and we are getting very, very close to that point. Our last question will come from Matt McWilliams, and then we will have closing comments.
All right, I'll make it quick. Would you use your congressional office to fight RFS waivers given to oil companies by the EPA? Oh, I'll repeat that.
Could you repeat that for him, please?
Would you use your congressional office to fight RFS waivers given to oil companies by the EPA?
And we will start with Jeremy Taylor on this one.
Absolutely. So as somebody who is bullish on ethanol, I will stand for the renewable fuel standard. We have a U.S. EPA that is subverting the rule of law, and that's what this issue is all about. 4 billion gallons means 4 billion gallons. So whether the U.S. EPA is subverting that with the so-called small refinery exemptions and waivers that are being handed out inappropriately, or whether they're failing to remand the 260 million gallons that the courts ordered them, it's high time that we had somebody who was on the Ag Committee, and that we have somebody who has a partnership with President Trump so that when he flies home with Senators Grassley and Ernst, he takes the congressman from the 4th District in order to be bullish on ethanol and to make sure that we stand for ethanol in the 4th District. What's happening right now at the federal level is this. Congress passes roughly about 150 pieces of legislation every year. That hasn't changed. What has changed is that there's now over 60,000 pages on the Federal Register. That's something that President Trump, whom I applaud, has been very bullish about. But you have a U.S. EPA, and these are not elected folks that are bureaucrats that are subverting, and it's hurting our Iowa's ethanol industry, our Iowa corn growers. You'll have somebody in me who fights tooth and nail for ethanol and for the RFS. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brett Richards.
Well, that one almost could be a one-word answer for everybody. Yes, of course. You know, in October, when this really came to head, I was the only one in this race that called for the EPA Administrator Wheeler to be fired. President Trump can fix this problem by firing him in October. Guess what? More than rhetoric, I'm showing leadership. I will go against anyone that doesn't have the best interests of Iowans at heart. Since 1978, my family has been selling gasohol. And gasohol, for those listeners that don't remember, is E10. It was just what we called it in 1978. I misspoke, 78. We were the first ones in Shelby County to sell it. And my entire life, we've had investments in infrastructure for biofuels, whether it be biodiesel or alcohol, to make sure Iowans had additional markets for their products. And right now, with oil markets plummeting and demand dropping for passenger car motor fuels, we have a real dilemma, because we've spent 40, almost 50 years investing in the infrastructure for ethanol. What are we going to do? Well, we've got to get the economy going. We've got to keep cranking out the alcohol so our farmers have markets for their 4 billion gallon or 4 billion bushels of corn and the 15 billion gallons on the RFS that's the floor right now. We should extend the off ramp for at least another 10 years, because right now our ethanol industry probably has been set back 10 years. So let's look at how Congress can react there and continue to have a market for our product that we spent so much time, personal equity, personal investment, farmers, C-store operators like my family business over the last several decades. So absolutely we need to make sure that ethanol doesn't die right now. Thank you.
Congressman Steve King.
Well, the question was, will I? And the answer is, I have. I have relentlessly and for a long time, and I'll continue to do that. I take you back a little ways when we worked a long time to get E15 year-round. I went out to see the president one-on-one in the Oval Office, except for some of the chirping in the background that I got from his chief of staff on pushing for year-round E15. into that meeting, I concluded that he was going to announce it. 2 days later, he announced year-round E15. Then, the following May, we finally got the administrator of the EPA to finalize the rules. And when he did that, the last minute, he came on WHO and said, okay, now I've got this done, and we can do year-round E15. But also, in came five more our small refinery exemptions. When that happened, I put out a statement that said, it looks like whenever we get one thing that supports renewable fuel, there's an offset that goes back to reward petroleum industry. When I saw that, I saw into the mind, I think, of Wheeler, the administrator. So I wrote two bills. One of them was a bill that required that any future small refinery exemptions had to blend in the gallons into the other refineries in the country so there was no net loss. And the other bill was that plus going back to recover the 4.2 billion gallons that had already been waived by the SREs, the small refinery exemptions. So yes, I have done that. I'll keep doing that. And there is no stronger voice in the House of Representatives in support of renewable fuels than me. The first bill that I introduced in Congress became law, and it became laid the small refinery subsidy for the ethanol producers and biodiesel. That became law. So there's no question about where I stand on renewable fuels. It's been aggressive, but we don't have the votes in the House because they turned it against us politically. The dream team of the petroleum lobby came in, and they swept through that Congress and turned them over. Now I find myself surrounded by anti-ethanol, poor old petroleum people, and by the way, they're going broke too, just like the ethanol industry are, so it's a bad fight right now, but I'll continue to be in it.
Thank you. Stephen Reeder.
My answer to the question is yes, I will support ethanol. And the reason I say yes is because our government made a commitment to the ethanol industry. And just like myself, when I make a commitment, I follow through. But I think this is the perfect example. As you recall, one of my opening statements was limited government. I want to get the government out of our lives. And what happens when you have these big government programs, whether it be ethanol, wind, stimulus packages, they start out well-intended, but then the rules change along the way. And either the government makes changes through lobbyists or special interest groups, or you have other causes creating differences of opinion, and so then what happens is the field is not level. I want to level the playing field. I can't tell you the number of farmers, ranchers, producers that want to get the government out of their lives. I want to put the profitability back in the hands of the farmers. We have to create more markets and diversity for our farmers rather than having them so much reliance on global trade of corn and soybeans and ethanol. I want to restrict the government going forward from getting involved in all of our industries. And that's what I intend to do, and I want to get the government, limit the government's scope.
Very good. Randy Feenstra.
I will use all my powers to help the ethanol industry and the biofuel industry. We need somebody on the Ag Committee, somebody that has a voice, somebody that can get things done. This is a bipartisan committee. This is an area that we can get things done. The small refinery waivers, it's a shame, and they must stop. We must get rid of Administrator Wheeler. It's out of control. It's crushing our ethanol plants. Renewable fuel mandates, we must increase the volume of biofuels. I have helped write a bill over the last several years, and it's going to get passed this year, that we're going to go in Iowa from E10 to E15 at all pumps, so we can pump E15 instead of E10 in all our cars. Why? So we can increase the volume of biofuels. The other thing is, that people don't talk about much, is how important ethanol is to our ag industry, how much crops it takes, and it raises the commodity price. You know what else it does? It creates distiller grains for our cattle. When we don't have ethanol production, we don't have distiller grains. We don't have this for our cattle producers. And this creates just another struggle for our farming community. You know, you look today, our farmers, they're talking about bankruptcy. My family, my in-laws, my kids, and I, we regularly work on the farm. And it's awful hard to see my family and my in-laws wondering what's going to happen. And it's because of the producers that are getting their shaft by the packers. It's because ethanol is no longer what it is today, that they can't get distiller grains. All these things coupled together makes the farming community looking at the verge of bankruptcy. I will do everything for our ethanol producers. That's why I'm endorsed by the biofuel industry, because I'm passionate about this issue.